Thanks for tuning in. This is part two of my interview with Josh Tuning.
Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Fitfluential Radio. I am your host, Kelly Olexa, and today I am pleased to have Josh Tuning on the show. This is actually a two-part episode with Josh because first part of the show, we talk about his experience as a personal trainer, some of the typical things he is very passionate about helping his clients with. And you'll see he's just a bundle of energy and very passionate about health, wellness, and fitness. And then in the second part of the show, we talk very specifically about Josh's recent journey, for lack of a better term, with testicular cancer, how he found out he had it, how the detection process went. And really, he's got quite an incredible story, but also insights for those of you that I might suspect that you have it or certainly want to pay attention to learn how you can be proactive in ongoing detection for yourself. So enjoy part one, and I encourage you to tune into part two of my interview with Josh Tuning. Okay, so Josh, thanks for staying on so that we can record part two here. And for everybody listening, you know, hopefully you listened to part one where we talked about, you know, Josh's, how he got started in the fitness business. And really it was him starting in the fitness business first, and then fitness, health, and wellness became a lifestyle for him. But Josh, you have a pretty amazing, and this is how you and I connected on social. I think Mindy had introduced us, and then you sent me a YouTube video about he's a lot to take in, folks, just like me, but it's all good. It's the gift that keeps on giving. But you had a pretty intense and amazing story about cancer. And there's really nobody in that I've met that hasn't had their world touched by cancer in some way, whether it's themselves or a loved one or someone close. You know, my mom is a breast cancer survivor. She and my dad were diagnosed. This was 2 years ago, I think in 2014, right before Thanksgiving. My mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, and my dad was diagnosed a week later with prostate cancer. And incidentally, that just reminded me, we're going to have Mike Ditka on the show because he has done a lot of work around prostate cancer for men. And I think what I view, we've done a lot of work in the Fitfluential area with brands, and you know, we get around in the case of breast cancer. You know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and every time that comes around, I'm like, why do we have to have a month about cancer awareness? Because what I observe is that nobody knows what they need to know about high blood pressure or heart disease or cancer or diabetes until they are diagnosed with it. And they're so far down the path that then it's panic time, then it's surgery time. And so one of the commitments we're making this year in Fitfluential, I've wanted to do this for years, is to work with these organizations and educate people so that they're comfortable talking about this stuff. They know what to expect. We bring folks on the show like you who have been there, done that, are still doing it, still dealing with it. And we make it less scary so that if you do come down that road and it's your mom or your dad or your sister, or your child, or you that gets that notification, you have that ability to go, okay, you know what? So-and-so got through this. I'm going to get through it. And it's less scary. So with that said, that's my introduction to you, Josh. Why don't you tell folks, first of all, you know, what's your cancer story? When did this start for you? How did you find out about it? And what was, tell us those beginning phases of how this hit you and what you got started on as far as treatment. And just tell us the beginning phases of your cancer story.
Today's Fitfluential Radio episode is sponsored by Health IQ. Health IQ uses science and data to secure lower rates on life insurance for health-conscious people, including runners, cyclists, strength trainers, vegans, and many more. 56% of Health IQ customers save up to 33% on their life insurance policies, and these savings are exclusive to Health IQ. Health IQ can save their customers this much because physically active people have a 56% lower risk of heart disease, 20% lower risk of cancer, and a 58% lower risk of diabetes compared to people who are inactive. To get your free quote today, mention the promo code FITFLUENTIAL when you talk to a Health IQ agent.
Well, in December of 2010, I was in the best shape of my life. I have never been in such good a shape that I was in at that. I was looking at myself and I was like, you rock. That's how good I felt about myself. And I was strong. Like everything was just in place. I was a assistant youth pastor at my church and just things were really good. Like everything was good. And then, I just feel like there's sometimes in life when you're supposed to make like these pivotal movements or detours in life, you start to get these signs. And most of the time we ignore those signs until after something happens and we're like analyzing, well, what could I have done different? But I started realizing like every single night as white noise on the TV, testicular cancer commercials would come on about getting checked. One was like getting checked, go call your doctor, get checked if you're between the ages of X and Y, whatever it was. And I wasn't even paying attention to that. I was just paying attention to, you know, whatever TV show I was watching with my wife or whatever. And then they just kept coming on. And then all of a sudden they just stopped, completely stopped. And probably a couple weeks later, I would say like it was like just after Christmas. I never used soap. As a civilian, like when I was in the army, all we did use was bars of soap when we would shower. But I'm more civilized now, and my wife cares about, you know, the skin exfoliation and smelling fresh and clean and stuff. And she's like, Josh, you need to use a loofah. So I'm using a loofah with the body wash and stuff. But I ran out of the body wash, so I had to use a bar of soap. So I'm, you know, not to sound all graphic or whatever, because I know that there's some gentlemen out there that are listening to this and be like, I feel this, dude. I've used soap before, but so I'm like scrubbing the inside of my leg, lathering the inside of my leg, and then my forearm brushed one of my testicles, and I was like, whoa! I felt like I got kicked in my situation, and I
my junk. I'm sorry.
And yeah, it became an ordeal. That's how bad it hurt. And I'm like crouched over in the tub, and I'm like in a fetal position, like this pain, like this is not right. And so I was like, okay, whatever. So I get out of the shower, and then I didn't even tell my wife. I was just thinking it was like just like a fluke thing. And then the day after, because we didn't have any soap or body wash, I hear on the TV again, check your testicles for lumps or whatever, like women do for, you know, on their breasts. So I'm like thinking, this is kind of funny. Before I get in the shower, I'm like, you know, this is funny. Like, I'm not dressed. Because I'm about to get in the shower. I'm in the bucket nude. And I go and I get my phone and I go to YouTube, how to feel your testicles for lumps. Imagine that, right? This is a funny situation. So I YouTube it and I see all these like animations and stuff, these doctors. I mean, they're serious videos. They're not like, you know, parodies or whatever. And so I'm like, okay, cool. So I'm looking at the video, and then I look down, I palpate, and I'm like, well, I need to get lathered up, like, you know, because of like your skin, your fingertips, and then the skin of your, you know, your situation, you know, your area. And so I get in the shower and I start feeling, I'm like, oh my God, I just feel a lump. I just feel like this, it was like a little BB size lump. And then I'm all lathered up, and my wife was asleep at the time. And so I'm still all covered in soap. And I run over to the bed and I say, baby, cause she was in nursing school at the time. And I said, baby, wake up. She goes, what? Why are you naked? Why are you, you know, in soap? And I'm like, I felt a lump. And she's like, what? And then so she jumps up out of bed and she starts feeling, she's like, oh, it's your vestibular, I don't even know how to pronounce it, vestibular something. And I'm like, okay, cool. So I get back in the shower and then whatever. And then about, I'd say like less than a week later. Yes.
I'm sorry, but are you saying that your wife, who's a nurse, yeah, when she felt it, in other words, she was saying to you, oh, that's okay? Or was she saying, oh, that is bad?
No, that's, she said that it was okay, that because both testicles have a, like healthy testicles have a, I don't know the name of it, the medical name of it, but it's like where the, oh my gosh, it's like vestibular or something. I can't even.
We'll look it up and we'll link it up in the show. I'm guessing that it's maybe, and of course, clearly, I am not a doctor.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
I know, you know, like women, when you're doing a breast exam, it, you know, you can feel lumps, but it's there's lumps that are natural,
yes,
part of the tissue that are always there, and then there are, correct, bad lumps. Okay. So I just, sure, wanted to clarify that for people, yes, that are listening, that because again, a lot of people are going to have this situation and you want to know what to, in yeah, the junk, as you would say, and you want to know what to look out for and what to expect. So continue. Apologize for interrupting.
So a few days later, like I actually sat down and my stomach hurt real bad. And it was hurting in the same spot on my left side that it was when I was in the shower. And then I was at work at the time and I was at work and I went into the bathroom and like I was feeling like, is it in my groin? Is it in my thigh? Is it in my stomach? And then I felt my testicle was rock hard. My left one was, it was like a golf ball. I mean, it was like a rock versus the softness of my right testicle. And like, oh man, this is not right. So I called my wife and I told my wife and she said, you know, well, let's call the doctor or whatever. So we called the doctor and every day it kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. It was like, I was like, what the heck is going on with this? And so I went to my doctor, my general care practitioner, and she felt it. And she's like, you know, we need to get you to a urologist to have this checked out because this doesn't feel like I'm really good at reading people's body language. And her body language went from like, hey, what's up, Josh? It's good to see you. I haven't seen you in like 3 months. How's everything going? To feeling my testicle. And then all of a sudden she has this like she's not going to see me ever again kind of feel. And I'm like, oh man. So my radar, you know, goes up, but boom. So I start asking family and clients of mine, reputable urologists in the area. Now, of all the people that I was referred to, a local doctor here in St. Pete, and he happened to be the husband of the wife that I see at the gym every single day. He's also in the same church that I went to. He was the only doctor that I've ever seen in my life that has a cross and then the fish. I think it's like the I don't remember even like this. I'm great at scripture. I do love God, he brought me in and I found out that he was also the partner of a client that I trained like 4 years ago. It was like all of these like connections, like 2 degrees of separation. Like I was in la la land because of making all these connections. But anyway, so he was like, yeah, this isn't right. We need to get you and get an ultrasound, like stat. And I'm like, all right, cool. So I go in there and the lady, you know, puts the stuff, the gel all over me and she's looking at it. And again, her body language, she's never met me before, but it went from like, hey, nice to meet you. Please lay down. This might be cool. This might be cold. It'll be all right. To, she's never going to see me again. Like, what is going on? What are you looking at in the monitor? Well, the doctor is going to have to see you. I'm like, you can tell me right now if something's abnormal. And she like didn't even look at me. I was like, you just told me something's not abnormal. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. So the doctor comes in and immediately says, I've got cancer. And I was like, what? And I literally said it like that. It was like, I started laughing. I said, what? like, I don't know you to joke like that. It's like, no, it's not a joke. We need to get that tumor removed immediately because it's a fast growing. They couldn't tell what it was because they didn't do a biopsy, but we need to get that removed ASAP because the way that I was describing the growth is something not good. It could be spreading to my lymphatic system in my groin, which, you know, that's what happened to Lance Armstrong. So like, yep, that's when I was told that I had to get the surgery.
That has to be, you know, I mean, I haven't had anything as significant as that. I remember like my biggest, and this is not to compare at all, but I just remember the feeling like you were talking about, you're going in there, they're examining you, and then they tell you, and you know, what, how your heart is racing and you're going through it. I remember when I had appendicitis, you know, and I had all this pain and I was rushed in. And then when you go from, well, I kind of have this funny stomach ache to, mm-hmm. you need to have surgery right now. It's like your whole world changes. And, you know, I have to imagine the fear that you were going through, and then to actually hear it and realize how serious it was, that, you know, 5 days before that, you were just normal Josh.
Yeah,
and exactly. And all this stuff, it's going on behind the scenes, right? And then suddenly everything in your world changes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I think for those that are listening to your story, you know, there's probably no advice you can give as far as, you know, how to make that journey, that part when you go see a doctor and you suspect that there's something wrong, easier. I don't mm-hmm. think there's any way to make that easier, is there? You know, it's just know that there's going to be a solution, and it might not be kind of like fitness. We talked about fitness. There's not a quick fix solution. It's not going to be easy, but one of the good things about the lifestyle factors we talk about on the show that can have an effect preventatively, but also in recovery, but then the medical advances that have happened mm-hmm. That don't make cancer a death threat anymore. So tell us about, you know, you were diagnosed. He said, we have to have surgery right away. What surgery is that? So in other words, for folks, men in particular, obviously, that are listening, if you, when you have a diagnosis of testicular cancer like that, is surgery typically the only answer, or is that your case was so advanced that there was a time issue and that was what they had to jump to?
No, like, hold that thought real quick. When you said about fear is like, that is so, it's one of those like primal emotional responses to anything that subconsciously you recognize as a threat to your existence on the planet and your existence and preservation for yourself, for your family, for your kids, for your parents, or for whatever. And when I was told, I literally, because I was so faithful in God, like I was not afraid of the cancer or dying of cancer, because I knew that God was like, that was like my rock in my life at that time. And I was actually excited to, I can express and show my faith in him through all the things that I was going to have to go through with what he was telling me, that my path to get from cancer to cancer free would be. I was excited to go through the struggle, like in Job. I was excited to go through that stuff because I knew that others were going to see God's power in my life. I was going to be able to express his power in my life. So, but the thing is like when I got into my car, like 15 minutes after checking out, I'm sitting in my car and I'm looking out at the grass in front of my car, and I went blank. I went numb. I was like, I'm more afraid of what to tell my wife. How am I going to tell my wife that her husband has cancer? How am I going to tell my wife that you think your days at school are tough? That studying for these exams are tough. I'm going to be a freaking cancer patient. I'm going to be going through chemo, like on top of all the stuff that she has to go through. Like, that's what I'm worried about. What kind of burden am I going to be to my wife? And I was like, man, I don't even remember what I was going to tell my wife. So I had to go back in and ask them what the doctor told me. What do I have? Like, what's going on? I literally, it's not a, like a, oh, I just went blank. And so when I went to go tell her all that stuff, that's when like she went into like problem solving mode, and she was a hustler, like, you know, what I mean, I don't even know how to explain that part, but they were basically saying, like, when it goes, and I progress back to what you were saying about, you know, the avenues that one would take, you know, some people is observation, you know, we're going to monitor it for 6 weeks, and, you know, blood work every week or whatever that case might, you might even just get radiation. You might just get just monitoring. No, nothing outside of that. Others are surgery, no cancer or no chemo, but radiation. Surgery, just chemo, no radiation. Surgery, you know, I mean, there's so many different variables to consider when it comes to the, you know, every single different type of cancer. But they said that the based on the cancer, after they did the biopsy, I had to get the surgery done, that I had like three different types of cancer. One was like a cancer-eating cancer. Another one was like, I don't even know what the heck they were talking about, other than the fact that I had the C word. I don't need to know all the like the jargon and stuff like that. Just tell me what I need to do to get rid of it and the things I have to go through to make sure that it gets gone, and then what I'm going to have to do to get my life back. That's all I want to know. Tell me where it should go and I'll show up. The logistics part, I left that to Amber, you know, because she could remember that kind of stuff. And that's the thing about, you know, probably, you know, going like the whole like caregiver mindset, like what caregivers go through and, you know, stuff like that. But man, that's like, that was like when the chapter closed, a new chapter opened.
Amen. Amen to that. And, you know, I know that when you and I first talked about your story, and you shared it with me, mm-hmm. A lot of what you confided in me was that what you just said, you were worried about, you were thinking about your wife. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is probably a really good point for us to share on the show, because, like, you know, I remember when my dad and my mom were both diagnosed, and my dad had a very a quicker fix, if you will, for mm-hmm. for his, you know, the prostate surgery was more simple. I'm hoping to get both my mom and my dad on the show. Cool. My mom is committed. My dad's going to be like, Kelly, I don't know.
It's a podcasting stuff.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if I can change Jerry's mind. But it's often very difficult for people that are the wife or husband or daughter or friend mm-hmm. Of somebody going through cancer. I'm thinking of my friend Linda, who at age 53 was diagnosed a little over a year ago with stage 4 breast cancer. And it literally, just like you, she went into the doctor and suddenly her entire life changed. And she's thinking about, you know, her son that lives with her, and he has a girlfriend and two kids, and her husband who had just had a brain tumor.
Yeah.
And he's living at home and she's the sole source of support. And so all she's thinking about is, how's this going to affect them? But let me tie this back down to a specific question. You know, as somebody like yourself who has been through this, what do you say to people that are just getting a diagnosis, meaning for someone in their family, they're the husband, they're the daughter, the son, the friend? What is it that helped you the most in getting through the surgery and the chemo that you had to do for this arduous process? What helped you the most from a support perspective that you want to tell other people out there, hey, here's what they're going to need from you?
Are you talking about like what I went through, as in Josh, the cancer patient?
No, like in other words, so you're the patient. What is it that your wife provided for you that was so valuable as a support? Like, I know, I'll lead you a little bit on this one. With my mom and my friend Linda, both who had breast cancer diagnoses and are both doing very well, you know, I made a commitment to my friend Linda and I said, I'm going to text you every single morning. And I do a Bitmoji to her and I'm like, how are you? And I just, you know, and she's like, that's what I get from you, Kelly, is you pick me up with humor. You send me funny Bitmojis and these, you know, GIFs and whatnot. And that's been my role. She has other friends that just listen to her and they have more kind of heavy conversations. Yeah. But for me, I made a commitment. I said, Linda, every single day, I'm going to text you in the morning. I'm going to text you at night. And I did that for a year and a half. I'm still checking in with her. Mm-hmm. She's passed the chemo. With my mom, she just wanted to be able to vent. And again, she needed somebody that would just make her laugh. And I would tell inappropriate jokes and swear a lot and send her YouTube videos. And she's like, I needed to be able to vent and complain about being tired and not feel like I was a freak. So for them, that's what, that was how I could support them. But a lot of people, they'll go, my mom told me, she said, so many of my friends stopped calling, stopped talking to me. They didn't know, and I knew, and they're not my friends anymore. They don't, it's like cancer scares them. So what do you say to people that are out there? How can they be a good friend? How can they be a good husband, daughter, brother, cousin, whatever, to somebody that's been diagnosed?
I think a large part of what Amber did for me was, not aside from the fact that she was my rock, she was my safe place. She was getting me choked up.
It's all right. I'll probably get choked up too. I do all the time.
She would write down everything about the medications, the dosage, the frequency, what my appointments were. She took notes on everything because I was still stuck on, like, it was like Groundhog Day. My day stopped when I was told I got cancer, and then it started over again, you know, 24 hours before I was told that I had cancer. And it never, like, moved on past that part where I was told that I had cancer. So I was like, in my mind, I was just constantly focused on this just one thing, the carrot on the end of the stick, not the path. And I didn't know, like, you know, where my appointments were. I was like, I was so confused about what was going on. And especially when you go through chemo, because it's like your memory is affected, your energy level is affected, your, like, everything is affected. And the thing is that a lot of people do is that they withdraw, like what you were talking about, your friend's friends. Like they withdrew from her. It was your friend, right? Mom?
Mom told me very specifically that she had people, once they learned she was diagnosed, that they just fell off the radar. But also Linda as well. Some people that she just could tell couldn't talk to her, didn't know what to say.
Yeah, it's like, you know, people don't know how to encourage other people, and they don't want to make things worse and a burden to you. But it's like I tell them, like, you know, just say that. I don't know what to say. I try to anticipate, like, what that person's going to need. Like, that person's going to need transportation. That person's going to need, you know, encouragement or whatever, how to, you know, sorting their mail for bills. Depends on, like, how intense the treatment or surgery or whatever it is. It's just like, when we go through the process, we're thinking about survival, but we completely negate all of the responsibilities of being an adult that happens, that carries on, like paying your bills on time, following up with phone calls or whatever it is, text messages and emails, and making sure that if you're running a business, that, you know, everything is still being done to keep your business from closing its doors while you're going through what you're going through. And also reassuring that, like, yeah, you might be suffering right now. You might be, it's like inside of a snow globe, you know, it's calm, and everything is beautiful on the inside of the snow globe. But when you pick it up, you're told you have cancer, you pick it up and you shake it all up, and all the snow is going all over the place. It's chaos. But outside the snow globe, it's beautiful. It's a sunny day on the beach. But your reality is what's inside the chaos. But life is still going on, and it is beautiful, and it's not any less beautiful. It was before you were told that you're going to go through the storm that you're going in, or you're going through that you're going to go through. It's no different. You just got to endure this storm, and then the sun's going to come out again. But it's just going to be for this season, and the season might be 3 weeks. It might be a week. It might be a year. It might be a couple of years. But you're going to get through it. You know what I'm saying? So,
and you brought up some really great points there, because it reminds me of, my mom's experience, you know, my dad kept, you know, track of all of her medications, her appointments. Yeah. He was that administrative assistant. And, and it was funny. It's kind of funny to watch my dad actually learn how to make his own meals because you know, they come from that generation where, you know, the mom got up and made all of our meals and set the dinner table. So Jerry was a major trooper, and that is a support system. And, you know, I'm not saying like I am the primary example, but what I asked my friend, you know, and I did this with my parents, but I asked my friend Linda, you know, what can I do for you? And then a lot of times she would write me, you know, text me back and she'd be like, I'm at chemo. And she'd tell me how she felt. And and there was nothing I could say. And I think that you'd agree, you know, I just said, I would say to her, I'm like, that's awful, Linda. And I'm not even going to tell you that I know what it feels like because I don't, you know, and you have to be so angry and you have to be hurting and scared. But, you know, and I would tell her she'd get 2 months into it before she started. And now I'm making a note. I'm going to get Linda on the show before she started down the path of starting to go see doctors. Right when she was diagnosed, I put her on the phone with my mom because hearing from somebody else that had been through it was such a help. So I think that on this podcast, just hearing real life stories of people of all ages that have gotten that diagnosis that are going to be like, guess what? Because when you don't know what a mastectomy is like, or you don't know what having, as you say, one of your nuts removed, when you don't know what that's like, you can be like, oh my God, what is this like? So she talked to my mom first. That made her feel better because my mom is 77 now. You know, she was probably 75 when she went through this.
Okay.
So for her to be able to hear from somebody else, but then I remember Linda said to me, and I don't know if you had this feeling when you realized, I have to get surgery. I have to get chemo. This is going to be a long haul. And and you're looking out at what's in front of you. Linda said to me, she goes, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can do it. But yet, you know, you have to.
Yeah.
And I said to her at that early time, I'm like, you can do this. My mom did it. Other people have done it. And then she got about 6 weeks in. She's like, I can't do this anymore. And I said, Linda, do you remember what you said to me 6 weeks ago? And you've had six chemos. You've gotten through six chemos. Your hair is falling out. Mm-hmm. You've got this. And I kept saying that to her. Did you feel like at the beginning when you had everything laid out to you, did you think, I can't do this?
Yeah. Well, I didn't. When they said I had three rounds of chemo, the first week was 5 days a week, for 8 hours each day. Then the second week was on Tuesday for 4 hours. And then the third week was on Tuesday for 4 hours. And then the second round would kick in. It was the same as the first round. And when I was told, you know what, I was just only going through three rounds of chemo. When they told me the names of the drugs, I was like, dang, I don't even know how to pronounce that stuff. And then the first day when they, you know, drew the IV and then they brought that cart with all the bags hanging with the hazard stickers on it. And then the chemo nurses are in those thick blue gloves handling the bags because they can't get it on their skin. I'm like, you're going to put that in my veins, but you're not willing to touch it with your bare hands? Oh man, this is not happening. And that's when it kicked in. It was probably the third or fourth day when, you know, the symptoms of having this poison in my body, how my body was reacting to it. That's when the reality of, oh man, I got 2.5 more rounds of this. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, this is ridiculous. But, you know, somehow you just you don't really have a choice because I want to live, you know, it's just, I have no choice. I just show up and I got to do what I have to do. And, you know, just try to be an encouraging as I could to my wife, but I can't fake, you know, the vomiting or the panic attacks or the, you know, I can't fake that stuff. I can't fake not having it. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. And that's certainly, you know, I would never want to insult the experience of people that have been through this by, you know, having you on the show and going, just tell people that it's going to be okay. It's awesome. Yeah, you'll get through this. It's not that simple.
Nice.
So I think that people hearing you say, you know, and hearing other guests that we'll have on the show, I was scared. You know, here's what you're facing, and you don't have a choice. But also, it's kind of like a lot of things. And again, not to compare my very simple, far less
relative. You know, like everyone experiences it. It's the reality. Right. So
I mean, I heard this great message one time from Joel Osteen recently, and I'm hoping I can get him on the show because I'm such a fan. He always picks me up when I'm down. But he had this, he was talking about the crap that we go through, whether it's business related, relationship related, money related, health related. And he's like, we all want to have a GPS for our life. We want to have, you know, the abilities like you get in your car. You plug in where you want to go, and it's going to tell you if there's traffic. It's going to tell you how long it's going to take you. It's going to tell you what roads are closed. And you know exactly how much it's going to take to get from point A to point B and how to avoid the bad stuff. Yep. And we want that in our life. We want to be able to say, okay, I just got diagnosed with breast cancer, testicular cancer. I'm going to be from a level 1 pain to a level 10 pain. Mm-hmm. I'll be at level 8 but it'll only be for, you know, 30 minutes on these 3 days. Okay, I've got that. And then I'm going to be better. It's kind of like weight loss. I'm going to be better here. I'm going to be 20 pounds lighter here. You're not going to have that. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that he brought up that I keep using to myself, because last year was one of the worst years of my life in many ways. He's like, if you knew what you were going to go through before you went through it, you would without question opt out. You go, I don't have it in me. I can't do it. And that would result in you taking an easier route, and you wouldn't grow as a person. And look at all the things when you look back on your life, you're like, thank God, now I get why I got fired. Now I get why I was unemployed for 13 months. Now I get why my marriage broke up, because this led to this, which led to this. So I want to just kind of wrap up, and I want you to come back on the show, because I think we can do a lot of talk about people, you know, from a preventative standpoint, what lessons have we learned there in this area? We'll talk about testicular cancer. We'll get some experts on the show. I want to talk about, is there preventative things that we can share with men? And then let's just talk about what that journey's like. But ultimately, when you look back on your experience of having surgery and going through chemo, and like you said, you dealt with panic attacks, you dealt with the nausea, the exhaustion, you know, for the men out there that are either, maybe they're going to go home and do that self-examination, they're going to Google those YouTube videos, they're gonna take the bar of soap, you know, whatever, instead of a loofah. And they're scared because they've discovered something. We all are. I don't care how studly you are, or you've already gone to the doctor and you've got the diagnosis. What do you say to somebody knowing you've been through it, just as a bit of encouragement that, because again, it's different when you've been through it. What do you say to somebody who's at that point? And that might be too heavy of a question, but I'm asking it anyway. Fitfluential Radio fans, I have a gift for you. And by gift, I mean the gift that truly keeps on giving. Head on over right now to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up for our now live VIP Fitfluential membership. Our Fitfluential membership is not a diet program. It's not a workout program. You will have access to learning from some of the best trainers, dietitians, nutritionists, doctors, chiropractors, massage therapists, chefs, athletes, authors. I could go on and on and on. A lot of folks that have been on this show. What our Fitfluential membership is designed to do is meet you in the middle and provide all of the education and inspiration that you need, all of the community and accountability that you crave, and everything else that's going to keep you from being one of those statistics in January. All those people that say, I'm going to get healthier this year. I'm going to live my best life. And then by the third week in January, the second week in February, all of those aspirations are gone. Don't let that be you. Go to fitfluential.com/membership and sign up now.
I think for the people that have not gone through, like if they're not, they haven't been diagnosed with anything, feel your nuts, son. Feel them. Put your hands on them and rub them and feel abnormalities. And if you have any abnormalities, don't be a punk. you gotta ask for help and go to the doctor. Man. Okay. And then the second port, second side, forward slash second topic, is if you have been diagnosed with cancer, testicular cancer. Oh, man, it's your nut, son. It's gonna suck, but you can get through it. That's like any suffering. Like what you said about Joel Osteen. Like if you knew what you were going to go through, you'd be like, no, I'm not going to go through that stuff. That's ridiculous. That's for the ham sandwiches. I'm not going there. But you negate the lessons that you learn about perseverance and the strength, the real strength. That's the thing about weight training and strength training, getting stronger as an individual psychologically or emotionally, is that when you face overwhelming odds, whether they're physical pain, emotional pain, psychological, it doesn't matter. When you face overwhelming odds, you have to pull yourself together and find the resources to get through whatever it is that you're going through. And the thing is that you're going to get through it. It's like when women are having, like I'm not a parent and my wife, we haven't had a baby, but I've seen videos of women making the ugly face, like screaming, having a baby. And it's like, they say it's the worst pain on the planet, but they would do it again because of the of what they experienced after the fact of giving birth. It's the same thing with pain and struggle. You give birth to a new version of yourself because your old self is no longer unless you ignore all that you have learned through the process of your struggle. If you ignore the lessons that you've learned in the process of that struggle or that pain, then You're never going to be able to use those resources to get through another storm or another drought or whatever, and you're not going to be able to learn the lessons or use the lessons that you learned to help others, because that's what we're here for. We're here for each other. We're not here as individuals solo. We're not in a fight by ourselves. We're in this fight together. And when we get that through our heads, oh man, sky is the limit. Like Biggie would say, sky is the limit. That's notorious B.I.G. Biggie Smalls.
More truth bombs. And I am glad that you said that, because too often when we're going through these tough times, and Josh, I'm just going to share with everybody, I think this is a good place to close up. We went a little longer on this episode, and I think everybody will appreciate it, because there's so much, right? Everything here is worth leaving, and this is a topic we should leave on here for guys, but also for women and people that are in supportive roles. But, you know, you mentioned that you're going through this not just to become a bigger, better, faster, stronger, better version of yourself, right? Yes. You're not the same person you used to be. And I have said that with regards to what I've gone through from a health perspective, from a mm-hmm. business perspective last year. Guess what? I'm not the same woman I was 6 months ago.
Nope.
The beautiful part of the way God made me and my personality, I'm still here. And I still love, you know, Krispy Kremes, and I still fantasize about Diet Mountain Dew and inappropriate things that Kevin wouldn't approve of. But I am stronger. I am better for having gone through the most heart-wrenching times ever. Different person. And most importantly, this is what you said to me, Josh, because mm-hmm. I remember calling you standing in my house in Chicago before mm-hmm. I moved, and I was going through, I don't know, like the fourth or fifth month of just unabated stress, disappointment, major loss, challenge, chaos, and every day crying. You mm-hmm. know, Kevin was down here in Austin, and he's my business coach, so he'd be calling me on Mondays, and he'd usually say, "How you doing today, Kelly?" And I'm like, yeah. "Oh my god!"
That's
and
all I would you just had start, to say.
Yeah, I was crying, and I remember that you were always so supportive, and you'd be texting me, and I remember one day I'm like, "He doesn't know what I'm going. He doesn't know the big picture." And I called you, mm-hmm. and I dumped everything on you. I told you everything. I'm like, you need to know this that's been going on since I was a kid, and this and this family dynamic and the financial dynamic and the business dynamic. And and then there was this long pause, and people, I was just bawling my eyes out, and I just mm-hmm. wanted someone to listen. And then Josh had this long pause, and he comes in like very Josh, and he's like, I'm going to do the pause, so just be quiet for a minute, Josh. He's like, "Dang, sister." He's like, "Do you know?" I'm trying to be Josh. He's like, "Do you know what a testimony you are to other people?" And I step back, because I'm waiting for him to go, "Well, damn, that sucks. Really? But he was like, you have no idea how your story, now that I know what you've gone through, mm-hmm. has, you know, motivated me, has been a testimony to me of your endurance mm-hmm. and your dedication and your integrity. And ever since then, I have this mantra. It came out of this book by Tasha Silver. It's mm-hmm. like prayers or something. And she said, may my work become my ministry and my life become my testimony. Mm. And right? That's some good juice. That's yeah. a truth bomb there.
Boom.
So yeah. I mean, you guys listen to Josh. He's been through a really bad time, obviously. There's no way to say that. Bad's not even a good word. Mm-hmm. But he got a horrible diagnosis. He's had challenges before, during, and after. We'll probably have you back on to talk with Kevin about some of the things he's working with you on. But look at what he's choosing to do. He's using his life as a testimony. He's sharing with you the reality so that you men that maybe are just starting to check can start to do that. He's using his experience to help others. And that's commendable. And that's really everything that, to me, defines what FitFluential, what we want it to be all about. So, Josh, I want to thank you being on the show.
You're welcome.
We obviously want to have you back on. And to wrap up, where's the best place on social media that you engage that anybody can follow you that you recommend? Is it Twitter? Is it Instagram? And what's your handle?
Probably Instagram. I think it's Josh Tuning, JOSHCHEWNING, or on Facebook. And I think on Facebook, it's that, what is it, that / JTuning? I think that's what it is.
We'll link it up in the show. I have no idea what the different URLs are, but we'll link it up in the show. And so follow him there. We'll link up his social media in the show, as well as any of the other resources we talked about. But I'm glad you stuck with us. I'm sure for a lot of you folks listening, it could be women that have a man in their life that is going through this, or maybe they have questions, or men. If you have any questions, or even if you want to ask Josh, if you are going through it and you want to connect with him on social media, but don't hesitate as well to leave comments in the show notes, because we want to answer those questions. We're going to be doing some live Twitter chats with medical experts on these topics, and we want to make sure we're answering all your questions, pointing you to the right resources so that you can get through if you have a diagnosis such as this or others. So thanks everybody for being on the show, for sticking in with a little bit longer of an episode that I indulged in, but I think you'll all believe it was worth it, and we will see you next time.
All right, y'all.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of FitFluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast, so please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit FitFluentialRadio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of FitFluential Radio. Peace! Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.